At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. So for the past two Sundays, Jesus shares some shocking lessons with his disciples. Today's gospel is not an exception. Jesus uses some graphic imagery to tell his disciples, "Whoever causes the little ones to believe in me to sin, it is better to have a great millstone tied around the neck and thrown into the sea. Or if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off." These are some strong words coming from Jesus, who is arguably our greatest advocate, who suffered and died for our sins out of love to bring us salvation. But today we hear a dire warning to all who are listening. I get a chance to do some research on this quote. I found a picture of this great millstone from the time of Jesus, and let me tell you, it looked pretty heavy. They call it a great millstone because it's so heavy they need a donkey to operate the big circular block of stone they use to grind grains. Now imagine having this tied to someone's neck and thrown into the sea. That person is going straight down to the bottom of the sea real fast. I also found out that drowning was a punishment reserved for God's enemies. On a side note, I'm glad we have confessions rather than having a great millstone tied around my neck and thrown into the sea. Plus, we might run out of millstones pretty quick. But Jesus isn't someone who would say something without having a good reason for saying this to his disciples. Today's gospel might reveal some different message for many of you. For me, two phrases kept popping up when I was reflecting on today's gospel. The first is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the second is, "Love one another as I have loved you." In the book of Genesis, we have the story of Cain and Abel. Out of jealousy, Cain kills his brother Abel. When the Lord asks Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Cain replies, "Am I my brother's keeper?" This used to be one of the fun phrases seminarians used whenever someone was running late or didn't show up in the morning. We would say something like, "I don't know where John is. Am I my brother's keeper?" Or, "I don't know if Chris is sick. Am I my brother's keeper?" Of course, we would say it with a hint of joking, but this would really say something about our fraternity or sense of brotherhood. We would really not know or care very much if someone was doing okay or not, as long as I was doing okay. It reminded me of the safety instructions on airplanes. If air cabin pressure drops and air masks deploy, the instruction is to put the air mask on yourself before helping others. Except in this case, once you put your mask on, you are free of any other responsibilities. Am I my brother's keeper? This phrase has a bit of sting for me whenever I say it. I have two siblings, one sister and one brother, both of them younger. I am very close with my sister. She goes to church, She's responsible and cleans up after herself. She is also very lovable. Then there's my brother. He doesn't go to church, leaves his shoes and socks wherever. Not the cleanest person, doesn't clean up after he's done eating, and his room looks like a cyclone moved through it. Plus, he's hard to talk to sometimes because he can be stubborn. Now, I love my brother, but maybe not as much as I love my sister, or even our family dog, Momo. If only God made everyone as lovable as our family dog, wouldn't that have been great? But we know that isn't the case in life. I don't even want to think about the family Thanksgiving gathering. I'm sure we can think of one or two persons that test our patience and even think maybe those individuals can go for a swim with a great millstone. But Jesus reminds us to love one another as I have loved you. Even as he was dying on the cross, he forgave his enemies to his last dying breath. He loved everyone equally. He didn't whisper under his breath, "A great millstone for you and you," but rather, "Father, forgive them." The last time I checked, even with great advances in science, I haven't been able to find a pill that can make us forgive our worst enemies out of love, or turn my frown into a smile when I look at my brother's mess sometimes. For me, these two phrases seem to be the underlying message for today's gospel. If we can love one another as Jesus loves and care for our brothers and sisters to grow closer to Christ, we would no longer worry about becoming a stumbling block and causing someone to sin. Maybe it may come easy for some of you to love your worst enemies or give a loving smile to those who try your patience every day. For me, it definitely does not happen easily or painlessly. I think it might be easier to roll out the millstone than to say, "I forgive you." I have been told that one of the people you will meet in heaven is your worst enemy, that one person that makes you want to turn around and walk the other way, that one person you know will ruin your day if you make eye contact or have to spend time together. For me, I think that one person might be a family member. I must admit, there have been days I told myself it would be better if I had nothing to do with my brother. Just thinking about him would make my blood boil. But Jesus reminds us, at times gently, am I my brother's keeper? Do I love him as Jesus loves me with all my sins and weaknesses? Our relationship has gotten a lot better. I still have a long way to go before I can smile at my brother with love when I see his messy room, or his shoes or socks lying everywhere. But I know as long as I have a breath in me, I can try again to grow closer to my brother in love as Jesus reminds us to do. I can't be sure what that will look like, but I will keep trying to be just a little bit better than the last time. And I hope that one day we can all grow to love those who irritate us and those who make our lives difficult. When we do so, we can be one more step closer to Jesus and to the kingdom of heaven we desire. I don't know if or when I will be able to embrace my brother with a loving smile, but I hope in faith that one day I will be able to smile with love at my irritatingly annoying brother and know that will be the kingdom of heaven. This week, let us try to let our thoughts of harsh consequences for those who cause us unrest and unhappiness give way to thoughts of understanding, which could soon put us on a path to love and forgiveness. Amen.